Greetings. On behalf of the St. John's United Methodist Church family, I want you to get ready to have life spoken into you. These messages that you're going to hear by audio or video are carefully crafted that they might feed your faith and starve your doubts. We pray that God will make you stronger and will prepare you for the destiny that He's called you to live into, not only in the week to come, but in the rest of your life through how God speaks to us through His text and through these servants. We treat it with precious honor that we are gifted and given the opportunity to feed your faith. And so now, get ready, receive, and know that God has a word for you.
This morning's scripture is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 21 through 22. Baptism is like that. It saves you now, not because it removes dirt from your body, but because it is the mark of a good conscience toward God. Your salvation comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at God's right side. Now that He has gone into heaven, He rules over all angels, authorities, and powers. Thank you.
My thanks to Carolyn for reading the scripture and welcoming you, and to the band for our wonderful music this morning. Again, I'm a certified lay speaker, just speaking for Reverend Troy today, and our theme is on baptism. This is the second sermon in a group of sermons. You can see the water for the visual effect, which we'll go into in a moment. Pray with me. Dear Lord, speak through me the word of grace to your people. Give them receptive ears. May your spirit be among us. Amen. That was great scripture. Your salvation comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We can all be assured of that. But we're going to think back to our baptism right now. I thought about doing what I've seen done before, and flinging water at you guys up and down the aisle. But I figured you wouldn't appreciate that, so I'm not doing it. So you owe me. So, but we all can remember our baptism. No matter when it was, where it was a special event because it was a faith milestone. How many were infants when they were baptized? Okay. How many were youth or adult? Okay, good mix. If you were an infant, you don't remember it, as Michelle said in the children's moment. But you've probably heard your parents talk about it. You've seen pictures. And it's a special time that you can think about. The church my parents were in when I was an infant was a non-denominational church, and they didn't practice infant baptism. They had me dedicated, which was the same thing, except there was no water. You just took the vows. When I was confirmed in eighth grade in the Free Methodist Church, since I hadn't been baptized, I had to be baptized. Every May, it's exciting to see confirmants, some of them to get baptized at that time. No matter when or where, it's an important faith milestone. I was immersed in the Governor Bond Lake over in Greenville, Illinois, at the Free Methodist campground. The Methodist Church recognizes three forms of baptism: sprinkling, which is just what they do to the infants; pouring, where they just take a pitcher and pour it over you; or by immersion, otherwise known as dunking. So, no matter what form you experienced or what age you experienced it, it was a faith milestone. I don't have any major regrets about my baptism or any major emotions that it conjures up in my head when I think about it. But at that time, it was very important to me because I'd just been through confirmation. I did want to solidify my faith, to confirm my faith, and it's a public profession. When you are baptized, you're publicly proclaiming that you believe in Jesus Christ. I was relieved, honestly, to have it done because, you know, it's something you can say you've done. It's a milestone. It's an accomplishment, if you will. Eighth grade is a very hard time of your life anyway, and so There's a mix of emotions and feelings and not knowing where you fit in, and that includes the church and God's family. But when you're confirmed, God takes you and hopefully makes you feel a part of his family. You're a member of the church at that point, and it kind of signifies a passage into, if not adulthood, into at least a more formal relationship with God and the church. Now, we had our son Thomas baptized when he was an infant, just a couple, maybe 8 weeks old, and that was more monumental to me than my own, I think. I really wasn't apprehensive about the baptism before it happened, but as we were called forward and stood up here, I'm like, I'm this kid's dad. This is kind of important. I guess I can't back out. That was the first Sunday that the new organ was in use. We had about 25 people sitting over there, friends and family. It was a great day. We promised to try and raise Thomas in a Christian home with the family of faith. And you all promised to be there to support us. Every time a child is baptized, the congregation as a whole has a response where we promise to help the parents raise the child in the ways of God as a church family. And I thank you for that, because we've been here for, Thomas is almost 10 years old now, so we've experienced that family of faith. It was a good day that day that he was baptized. We had a party back at the house. We had good cake from Patty Cakes in Highland. We had several friends there, of course, that were also in church. And Larry Harmon was there, and he was talking to Henry Malink. And they were talking about their friend, Dr. Pat Zimmerman, who was also in church that day. And they said that Pat Zimmerman had the most faith of anybody in the church. And it took me a while to figure that out, and so I had to ask, because I'm like, I'm the one that's pledging my faith. Why does Pat Zimmerman get that kudo? Well, it was stewardship time, and Pat Zimmerman delivered the stewardship moment, and he was wearing a Rams jersey. So that was the faith moment. I also have had a friend who was baptized in the Jordan River. This friend was a lifelong friend all the way back from when I was small in my grandparents' church. That would be a thrill too. But wherever you are baptized, it's special, it's sacred, and it's life-changing, because it's about faith. I had faith in Christ in eighth grade. I had faith that God would use me as a parent, despite my inexperience, to raise Thomas in a Christian home with the faith family here at St. John's. I believed that God would take Thomas's life and use it for his glory, and I still do. That takes faith. But as a type A person, I don't like to relinquish that control very much. But as we know, God is in complete control of the universe. And any time that we try and take control, we're assuming control that isn't really given to us. It's assumed by us, and we are fooling ourselves. For those of you who are parents, you think about that. What would happen to you, what would happen to your child if you weren't there to raise them in the Christian faith? If you as parents were to make an untimely exit, who would your child be raised by, and who would be their faith model? Think about that. Update your will accordingly if you need to, because it's important. I have faith in the entire scriptures for my salvation, for heaven eventually, and to accept that Jesus is who he said he was, the Son of God. As Methodists, we believe that salvation comes from personal faith alone in the acceptance of Christ's forgiveness based on his life, his death, and the miracle of his resurrection as found in the Holy Scriptures and in the creeds. When you were baptized, you are publicly professing that same faith. Mark 5:34, Jesus was speaking to the woman. He says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." Healing comes in lots of different forms, but your faith can heal you. As both the choir and the praise band sang last week, "Born of his spirit and washed in his blood." Both of these were different arrangements from Fanny Crosby's song, "Blessed Assurance." The blood and the water were in the same sentence. I think that's really neat. Think about it. Because of the crucifixion, there was the resurrection. Baptism has to do with blood. John 4:14 says, "Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall become in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." John 19:34 says, "One of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water." That was while he was on the cross. I know this is supposed to be something great, because in the next verse, the apostle tries to assure us just how true it is. He says, "The man who saw it has given testimony, and this testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe." The body is full of both blood and of water, but they don't usually come together. I'm not a medical professional, but this could have been a miracle in and of itself. We could discuss this for a long time. We could discuss varying forms of baptism, various different theories, talking about blood, but none of that may be important. We couldn't really come to any firm conclusions. But what I can conclude is found in Isaiah 53:5, where it says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." This is one of my very favorite verses in all of Scripture. It gives me hope. It gives me peace and gives me joy. It doesn't say we may be healed. It doesn't say we could be healed. Listen to me and listen to the Scripture. It says, "By his stripes we are healed." He accomplished that. It's enough. So we're washed in his blood, or washed, as the St. Louisans tend to say. We are washed by our baptism. What exactly is it that's washed away? As Michelle mentioned in the children's moment, it's our sins, it's the guilt, the shame, the brokenness, the humanness, that by the submission of God and his grace is gone. John Wesley spoke of sanctification, which is the second work of grace, the path of a Christian, after salvation toward Christian perfection. It's a journey. Hopefully we're on it. I'm on it. I'm not perfect, but I'm on this journey. And thirdly, baptism is about healing. We all need healing. We've all been hurt. By the fact that we're human, we are broken. Adam and Eve fell, sinning in that garden. Therefore, we are all fallen and broken. We're imperfect. We don't meet our own expectations, much less anybody else's or God's. We make mistakes. We get irritated. We're frustrated. We get angry. We can be afraid. We can lash out just because we're scared. But by his stripes, we are healed. There is joy and peace in that, at least for me. A Facebook friend from church posted something a few weeks ago. It talks about the strength that comes from forgiving someone who isn't sorry. It talks about the strength that it takes to accept an apology that was never given to you. That strength comes from God, and the healing that His grace provides. I haven't mastered this, but I'm trying. Some days, very hard. Some days, it is harder than others. But as I grow older, I really realize that it is not about me. I keep having to tell myself that. It's the other person. We aren't responsible for anyone but us. George Michael's 1988 hit song, Kissing a Fool, says, "People, you can never really change the way they feel. Better let them do just what they will, for they will, if you let them steal your heart from you." Don't let them do that. Jesus is there for us, for the hurts that life has caused us. In the Free Methodist Church, they have a special service called the Service for the Healing of Human Hurts. There's a liturgy with different prayers, responses, and a whole order of worship going through the different hurts we may have and explaining and praying for God to take those away from us. That's important because only God can take that away. And it isn't necessarily away. Doesn't mean we won't remember it, but it keeps us from being bound by it, from the bondage that keeps us from enjoying the life of grace and peace that God would have us to have. Just as a father hugs his child and kisses the boo-boo to make it all feel better, God wants to do that for us. The song "Sheltered in the Arms of God" by famed country singer Dottie Rambo speaks of this love that the Father has for us. It says, "Sheltered in the arm of God." She was writing this song as she was walking up and down the beach, and she said she felt a hand on her shoulder. She was going through some problems. The song says, "I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must trod. I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, and they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth can harm me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God." Our salvation is not static. It's not a one-time event. It's ongoing, the experience of God's gracious presence in our lives each day. Hopefully, as He's within, others can see from without. As we pray, as we study the Bible, as we worship, as we share fellowship with others, we deepen our knowledge and our love for God. As we respond with compassion to human needs and work for good in our communities, we strengthen our capacity to love our neighbor. Our inner thoughts and our motives, as well as our outer actions and behavior, are aligned with God's will and testify to our union with God. As our scripture said, "It saves you now, not because it removes dirt from your body, because it is the mark of a good conscience toward God. Now that He has gone into heaven, He rules over all angels, authorities, and powers. We're His people here on earth. We press on with God's help in the path of sanctification toward Christian perfection." By perfection, Wesley did not mean that we actually would be perfect or not make mistakes or that our weaknesses would suddenly fly away. Rather, he understood it to be a continual process being made perfect in our love of God, by removing our desire to sin. That process, it starts at baptism and continues on until we are in the presence of Jesus at death. In 1969, a young woman became a Christian and she wrote a song. She formed a band to help her sing this song. Anyone know who this was? This was the beginning or the start of, quote, modern contemporary Christian music. It was Marcia Stevens forming the band Children of the Day with For Those Tears I Died. It's a favorite if you were around in the 70s and even into the 80s. In today's verbiage, it went viral. Choirs, soloists, duets, trios, quartets in both Protestant and Catholic churches performed this song over and over and over all across America. It was powerful. The music was well written. It wasn't too long and had beautiful harmony. And it elicited a lot of emotions, even tears. For Those Tears I Died, the concept of healing through water, living water, the water that Jesus offers us. The song goes like this. You said you'd come and share all my sorrows. You said you'd be there for all my tomorrows. I came so close to sending you away, but just like you promised, I came there to stay. I just had to pray. And Jesus said, come to the water. Stand by my side. I know you are thirsty. You won't be denied. I felt every teardrop when in darkness you cried. And I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. In closing, I want to ask you to remember your baptism. If you haven't been baptized, consider speaking to Reverend Troy about being baptized. It's an important faith milestone. Baptism represents the washing away of sin by the shed blood of Jesus. We are healed by his stripes. He took our punishment. We can have joy and peace and comfort knowing that Jesus is there for us. And whatever else happens, we have a home in heaven with him at the end of our life. That's free. It gives peace. It's liberating. It can give us joy for a Christian life. And it starts at our baptism. The hymn, Leave It There, summarizes why we open the altar rail to God's people and those desiring to become God's people. The healing waters of baptism and the shed blood of Jesus that washes over us is there for us anytime. Leave It There says, when your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayer. He will make a way for you and will lead you safely through. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. I invite you to leave all your burdens to the Lord as you remember your baptism and are thankful for what God has done for us, for you, and for the world. Amen.